Well, I'm going to just continue for a few moments here and remind us and me, just continuing some thoughts about affirmations. And the Holy Spirit reminded me this morning, we've shared from this little booklet before. I think we have a few, some in the bookstore. It's by Kenneth E. Hagin, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. And it's a wonderful little booklet. And he shares in here how Jesus appeared to him. He was doing a meeting, and he said this was in 1953 in Phoenix, Arizona, and he was sharing all of this. And he said he was ministering, and he was standing at the pulpit, and God had showed him something prior to this meeting about how he would minister to this man. And he's standing at the pulpit, and he said Jesus appeared to him. And he's standing right in front of him. He said nobody could see him. I saw him. And then he said before he left, he said, I have a question for you. And he began to ask him a question about, he said Jesus had appeared to him once before and explained the prophet's ministry and so forth. But he had a question for him about being led. In other words, he said, I have this message. And he said, yeah, I've been trying to get through to you. And he said to him, and he unpacked that or unfolded that to him. But this is what he shared with him. He said, Jesus said, write down, I like how Jesus talks. He's simple, right? He writes, he deals with this simply. He told Brother Hagin, write down 1, 2, 3, 4. It's pretty simple, right? Write down 1, 2, 3, 4. And then he said, with my eyes shut, I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4. And he said, I knew the sermon had 4 points. And he said this to him. This is Jesus speaking to him. If anybody, anywhere, will take these 4 steps or put these 4 principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. Whew, boy, I'd want to know what them 4 steps are. What are they? He said, if they will put these 4 steps, he said, anybody, anywhere, will take these 4 steps or principles and put them into operation, he said he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. And then he goes on, and I'm not going to get into all this, but he laid these 4 steps out. He said, number one, you need to say it. And then he used the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And in the Amplified Bible, it says, she kept saying. She kept saying. And we'll read that. And then number two, he said, you need to do it. Meaning whatever you say, you go and you're going to do it. She did. She said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, she got up and did it. She did it. And number four, or three, was receive it. And the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be. She received before it actually manifested. So the manifestation didn't come first. She went and touched, and it released. Her faith activated the power of God. So number three was receive it, and number four was tell it. So he said, if anybody anywhere will take these 4 steps, say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. He said, anybody anywhere will receive from me or my Father. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? And then, of course, you know, Brother Hagin said, well, you're going to have to show me that in the Word of God. He's telling Jesus. You're going to have to show me. He said, well, there, and this is what he said to him. He said, there are a lot of things in the Word of God you don't know. And he began to show him. He said, well, here we have one, the woman with the issue of blood. He said, number two, he said, David and Goliath. And then he went on and showed him some other points. But the point we're going to just hear is that there was an affirmation. That they said something. And this is what he said, Jesus said to them. He said, positive or negative, if that woman with the issue of blood had said something different, she would have got it. That was his point. She got what she was confessing. And a lot of times, you know, is what we were sharing. We need to watch what we're saying. We need to affirm what God has spoken in his word. That woman with the issue of blood in their society at that time, she wasn't supposed to be out in public, and if she did, this is what they say historically, they had to yell unclean, unclean. They could not be in public because they were unclean with blood. And so they had to go through whatever ritual to be cleansed. So if she was caught out in public, they could have stoned her or killed her. So she took that risk to go. That was somebody who was convinced, said she heard of Jesus and said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be whole. Because she had heard people came to him and got healed. And so it's no different, you know. We all go through things, whether it's physical, financial, family. You need to decree. You know, I latched on to this a long time ago. I said, you know what? Pastor Clinton's not here and Pastor Sarah's not here, and there were prophecies given before this ministry came into existence, before it was established, before they went to Bible college. Brother Copeland called him out in Philadelphia and said, brought him up on stage, prophesied to Pastor Clinton. At that time, he wasn't a pastor. And was sharing some things and said, the people will come and the money will come. And he said afterwards, he's thinking, what the heck's he talking about? What people? They'd even have a ministry. And I said, you know, that wasn't just for them in this period of time. I said, that's an eternal word that was spoken over this ministry. And I said, I'm smart enough to see that and say, we're going to say that and decree it 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 and believe it. And guess what? The people come and the money come. And we hear stories from other pastors that are like, oh, they're wringing their hands. I'm saying, well, what are you saying? What are you decreeing? What are you pronouncing with your mouth as a leader? Are you talking the problem? You talking what you see? Faith is the substance of things expected, hoped for, the evidence of something seen or not seen. Not seen. And so when we don't have money, that's the time you need to be saying, my bank accounts are full. When my body's acting up, that's the time to say, this body is strong. It's not weak. Let the weak say what? Strong. I'm weak? No, it said, let the weak say I'm strong. Yes. So So that's what I'm saying. We have a roadmap in the Word of God. We have others that have gone before us that have shown us how to live this Christian life. Paul did. Jesus did. Like what Pastor Clinton used to say, he was our prototype. He showed us how. And so, no, it's not comfortable. Nobody, like they say, who likes to go to the gym? Who likes to work out and run? I mean, yeah, I mean, once you get in shape, yeah, hey, let's go. But when you're out of shape, who likes to do that? Nobody. Your flesh is going, I don't like this. You know, when you get up, I mean, it's like when we go up and work on the property. You know, I'll use Eric as an example. He works all the time. So he's in shape. But now when I go up at the beginning of the year, the first couple of weeks, it's like, ooh, ooh, buddy. This body's trying to get back in shape. And I need to stay in shape all year. But usually in the winter, we're doing something else. But man, when you get up there on the property and start working, the first couple of weeks is your body's going, sure you want to do this? But by the end of the summer, you're like, let's go. Because you've beat it into shape. And it's the same thing. A lot of us, when we go through tough waters and spots, we don't talk the word. We talk the problem. We do. Just be honest. And a lot of times this stuff is up in your face and you start, you know, it's squeezing us a little bit, and we need to keep affirming what the word says. Keep affirming it. Keep speaking it. Amen. It says, an affirmation is a statement of truth you make firm by repetition. You know, it's amazing to me, I guess, you know, you start seeing it more clearly. You see all of the companies that promote, you know, things for you know, what I would call motivational speakers. And you pay high dollars and money for that. And they're just using the principles in the Word of God for you to affirm. I mean, I remember hearing them. See yourself a success. Talk success. Don't talk failure. I'm thinking, hello. You can do that. The gospel is free. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go to motivational settings. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is take those principles in the Word of God, say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. Tell people, I am so blessed. Whew. Everything I touch is blessed. And somebody would look at you and go, sure don't look like it to me. It's like Brother Hagin when he one time he was young, and he talks about how he, when he was younger, he had a stroke and the whole side of his face was drooped. And he said he knew enough he was going to a Baptist church. He hadn't got spirit filled yet. Isn't that interesting? But the word had taken root in his heart. And he said, I'm just going to get to church and have that person get in agreement with me, and I'll receive. He said, I don't even know what that pastor prayed. Anybody want prayer? Yep, me. He jumped up, got prayer, and he said, when he said amen, I said, I got it. He didn't even know what he prayed. That's what he says. I don't even know what he prayed. I just said, when he said amen, I said, got it. So he said on the walk home with his friends, they said, "Did you get it?" He said, "Yep, I'm healed." And they said, "You sure don't look healed. Your face is still drooping." He said, "No, I got healed. I'm healed." And they said they made fun of him all the way home. So he said he was walking home with his friends, and he goes to the friend's house, and the girl said, "Kenneth said he was healed. He don't look healed to me." And they're still poking him. And the mother said, "He knows something we don't know. You might want to back up." And he said he went home that night. In the morning, he got up. His face was normal. Because he kept saying, hallelujah. He kept saying. And we need to keep saying, "I'm in covenant with God. I have a covenant-keeping God. When my flesh is screaming and my mind is screaming, I have a covenant-keeping God." Hallelujah. We need to declare it. Hallelujah. There was something I read recently, and just some notes I had. It was talking about T.L. Osborne, and he's in heaven now, but he was a well-known international evangelist. I was on the elevator once years ago with him, and a little man, about like this, very short, bright, bold red hair, big mustache, and this is how he talked. He was very, very straight, very direct. And he used to say this. I remember he used to go to the Kenneth Copeland meetings. He said, "When I arrive in Africa," this is how he talked. He said, "When I arrive in Africa, when I get off the plane and I touch the ground, I say, royalty has arrived." That's how he thought. That's how he talked. Royalty has arrived. Not him, the one in him. And this is what he said. He said, "The Bible truth," he said, "this Bible truth of the effect of confession of the word has been the springboard to my whole ministry around the world." I'm telling you, these men and women that have gone before us, they've worked the word, they've learned something. And it would do us well to follow in those footsteps. Maybe you don't have a worldwide ministry, but you're looking to make ends meet. So the springboard for your success is in your confession. Confession of the Word of God. How many would agree with that? First, what is Joshua 1:8, you know? We make these comments and these statements, but Joshua 1:8 says what? "This book of the law shall" what? "Not depart" where? "Out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest" what? "Observe to do." So you got to say it and do it, right? You got to do it. "According to all that is written therein, for then thou," or "you, shall make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." The Amplified Classic, it says, "Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success." So this area of affirmation is so important and so, powerful. You know, I share it periodically, but, you know, I remember years ago, 30-some years ago, probably closer to 40, but I remember at that time, I purpose, you know, when the scripture says, "As a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give." At that time, I purposed to give 30% of my salary. That was my heart, and I did. And then, you know, how we are when we're green, you know, you're giving and you're looking for a harvest like a farmer. I put it in, and next week I'm looking for the harvest. Well, that's how I was. I'm sowing and I'm looking for the harvest. And you should, but I was getting antsy. Where's my harvest? And my thinking was, where's my harvest? And so in a time of prayer, the Holy Spirit, and it actually was a time of laughter. I chose to laugh. I was laughing. I'll give you a backstory here. There were some symptoms in my body, just like Pierre was talking about symptoms. These were some excruciating symptoms. I decided to stay home, and I'm in my bed, and I said, I'm going to laugh at these symptoms. I'm just going to laugh at them. Not called it, I just laughed. And I started laughing. And it stirred up laughter in me. So I laughed pretty pitiful for 20 minutes. Ha, ha, ha. That's about all I could get out. And then that stirred my spirit, man. And I began to laugh harder and harder. And after about an hour, I was laughing at the top of my, you could hear me down the block. I'm laughing that loud. And I got over into supernatural laughter, and the Holy Ghost began to talk to me. Not about the symptoms. He started talking to me about my money. And he said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, he said, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So he was, and I immediately saw it because I realized I was not working the word in the area of finances. I was working the word in the area of healing. I was speaking it every day. Every day. I'd get up and I'd say, this body is strong. Every cell, every tissue of my body functions normally. I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And other scriptures. And I just would say that all the time. And walk in it. But when I came in, like we did before, and sow my seed, you know what I did? Dropped it in the bucket. And that was the end of it. And felt good that I gave 30%. Feeling good don't change anything. Feeling good about giving 30% changes zero. Because your mouth said nothing. Your mouth didn't move. I like what Mark Hankin said, if you don't move your mouth, you don't move your mountain. That's Mark 11:23. If you don't move your mouth, you won't move your circumstance. If you don't move your mouth, you won't change your circumstances. You've got to move your mouth. You've got to say something. Say what you believe. What do I believe? I believe the word of God. I believe I'm in covenant with God. I believe that my words have power and are changing something. And don't be moved by what you see. Say something. And so I began to do that. And my isn't it interesting? The minute I did that, my finances started to change. Interesting. I remember here, the minute I did that, I started confessing. I started calling in money. I said, I've planted money. I command money to come into me, a harvest. I remember working here in the ministry at the time. They paid me what they felt I was worth. And so I remember Minister Joseph at the time, he called me and says, oh, we're going to give you a raise. Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate it. And then a week later, after I started saying, he called me back in. He said, we're going to give you an increase. And of course, me, I said, well, what for? I did. I wanted to know, well, what for? You just gave me one. And he said, well, we just felt impressed to do that. Thank you. But I can tell you, if I hadn't said anything, I wonder if I would have gotten that increase. So all I'm saying is, if you don't like your circumstances, start saying something. Say something. Decree. You're in covenant with God. You have a covenant with God. It says, I wish above all things that you what? Struggle? Prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He wants us to prosper, but I got to say something. The communication of thy faith is effectual. If you communicate, it's Philemon. Verse 6. Maybe they can put that up. Philemon, verse 6, is only one chapter. And it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging, that's confessing, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You've got to say what's good. Because that's what Jesus said to Brother Hagin. He said, good or bad? It's what he said here about this woman with the issue of blood. He said, in my vision, Jesus said, positive or negative, it is up to the individual according to what the individual says, that shall he receive. That's what Jesus said to him. I'll read it again. He said, positive or negative. This is Jesus speaking to Brother Hagin. He documents this. Positive or negative, it is up to the individual. According to what the individual says, that shall he receive. And this is what Jesus said. This woman, he's saying this to Brother Hagin, this woman could have made a negative confession instead of a positive one, and that would have been what she received. She could have said, there's no use for me to go. I've suffered so long. 12 years I've been sick. All the best doctors have given up on my case. I've spent all of my living upon physicians. These are all true. I'm not better, but growing worse. I have nothing to live for. I might as well die. Jesus said if that had been what she said, that would have been what she received. But she did not speak negatively. She spoke positively, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And it came to pass. That released the power of God in her. And that's what he said. You can write your own ticket with God, meaning he's put things in the Word of God, principles that we can live by and live above the evil that's in this world. What's Romans 12, 2? Be not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He wants us to prosper. He sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin. Oh boy. Sometimes I think the Jewish people have gotten a hold of this because they'll go walk around and say, we have a covenant-keeping God. We're blessed because we're Jewish. We're blessed. We have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're blessed. And then this world gets all upset. They're growing, they're grabbing everything up. I'm thinking, say something. Say something. You're in covenant with God. You are blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is any of this just... I mean, we need to keep putting it in front of us, reminding us of these truths. Here's some other truths that Jesus shared. In Matthew 16 and verse 19, and I didn't give this scripture, but I'll wait for them. This is in the Amplified Classic, Matthew 16 and verse 19 in the Amplified Classic. And then we'll look at this in the Passion Translation. But Jesus is talking about the keys of the kingdom. So we've been given the power or authority in Matthew 16 and verse 19 and Matthew 18, 18, the power or authority to forbid something on earth or permit it. This is the Amplified Classic, Jesus speaking. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. Huh. And whatever you loose or declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. And that same verse in the Passion Translation says, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm. Wow. To forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Now, this word keys are symbols of authority and ruling power. And you might say, over what? The devil. So we've been given authority over him to do what? Forbid things. And to command something. That's what Jesus did. And we've been given that authority here to forbid something or to allow it. Or it says loose. And verse Matthew 18, 18 in the Amplified Classic, it says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit or declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So what's forbidden in heaven? Fear, sickness, disease, worry, anger, hatred, unrighteousness. So when we see that in our society, when we see that, we should say, no, no, we forbid that. We forbid it in the name of Jesus. We stand up and forbid that. Now, we have authority over the devil. You don't have authority over people. So you're not forbidding people. You're forbidding the devil to stop influencing people. Because you may get hit hard from somebody if you do something. What's allowed in heaven? Love, faith, peace, joy, righteousness. So we're to do what? As the scripture said, we're to do, to affirm constantly. This is Titus in the King James Version. Titus 3:8 said, this is a faithful saying, of these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but we need to do what? Continue to hold fast. This is Hebrews 10:23. Well, actually, the New Living Translation is a better rendering of this. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. See, whatever you're expecting, whatever you hope, that means expectation, you need to do what? Affirm that. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. You know, sometimes I guess I've just, like Brother Hagin would say, he would be like a bulldog with a bowl. He just grabbed hold of it and didn't let go. You know, don't touch my pan. That's my food, right? And I said, there's just some things that to me, when men and women of God have been influenced to prophesy over this ministry, whether I see it or not, is not the point. The point is, do I believe it and receive it? And do I affirm it and say it and confess it? Because God is looking. Think about it. How many hundreds of years before Jesus was born and the words that were spoken by the prophets, did they all go, well, I guess he's not coming? They kept affirming that he was coming. A Savior shall be born. And I said, these words that have been spoken over this ministry, I guess even before being in this position, I just took hold of them. I took hold of them. And I remember it was like yesterday, I forgot about the prophecy that Brother Fred Price gave. I completely forgot about it. And I was sitting in my office. This was before, well, it was after I was ordained, but I was sitting in my office and I heard down in my spirit, go pull out the prophecy by Dr. Price. And I went, huh, okay. So at that time, Pat Kennedy was on staff, and I said, Pat, go up into our archive room. I said, look for the time that Brother Price was here, pull that out, and I want you to listen to it. And pull off, there must be a prophecy. When she played that, I like to fell off my chair because I forgot about it. You know, we all do. And God wants to remind us of the things that he's spoken so that we affirm it. And he said through Dr. Price, you're not going to stay in this building because it's too small. That's what he says right now. Because it's too small for the work that I have for you to do. And you look around in the natural and you go, yeah, we got a lot of room. We got a lot of room. Means nothing. We walk by faith and not by sight. And God is wanting us to affirm, not just that, I'm using that as an example. The main thing he wants us to do is to affirm who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do through Christ. That is what he wants you to affirm. Because you're constantly being told in life by circumstances that you don't have what God promised. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. He watches over his word to perform it. And I have what he says. If I do what he says, then he's obligated to fulfill his word and bring it to pass. And so for all of us, I think God is just wanting us to keep reminding us, hold tightly, hold fast your affirmations. Don't let go. Don't let them slip. Brother Hagin has said this, I don't know, countless times. He said, my greatest victories were in some of the hardest places where he said, my mind was telling me all the time, I'm saying, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, and laughing at the circumstances. He said, the whole time, my mind is saying to me, you'll never have it. You'll never get it. And he'd say, oh, yes, I do. I have it. He said, I don't need to get it. I've already got it. He already got it for me. I don't need to get it. He said, the devil would say, you're not going to get it this time. He said, why would I need to get something I already have? Why do I need to get something that's already promised me? Why do I need to get healing? It's already been given to me. Why do I need to get the victory? I already have the victory. That silly stuff the devil tried to get you thinking stuff. I've already got it. So Jesus, remember what he said. If anybody, I'll read it again. If anybody, anywhere, will take these four steps or put these four principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. And what were those four steps? Say it, do it, receive it, tell it. And I'm telling you, it's so. It is done. So God is looking for us to release our faith in our words and to lean, 2 Corinthians 4:13, in the King James, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. That's the saying part. You know, I always reflect on these principles, and I remember Brother Hagin talking about his life, his story, when he said he, on the bed of sickness, he began to see, had been bedfast or paralyzed for a year and a half, and he said he's on this bed of sickness. And he said he began to see in the Word of God after all these pastors, all these doctors came through, and he'd say, with the most professional, dignified voice, they'd say, oh, my boy, it'll all be over soon, just hold on. No hope, no encouragement. And he began to see in the Word of God, light and revelation came, and he said, I have it. I believe I receive. I do believe. And he began to say, and he said he woke up one morning and the Holy Spirit spoke up inside him and said, now that you believe, people that are well ought to be up this time of the day. Since you believe you're well. And he was paralyzed, and he said his arms weren't. But from here down, he was still paralyzed. So he confessed, I believe I'm healed. And the Lord said, so since you do, you ought to be up. So he said, I did something. He took his paralyzed legs and threw them outside the bed. And he said they hit the floor like a couple of logs. And he said he got out and he grabbed the bedpost on his bed and he began to slide down the bedpost like this. And he said all of a sudden the power of God hit him. And he said it felt like honey running down him, hot oil and honey. He said it just felt like running down. And he said strength came into him and he stood up, he said, for the first time in 2 years, year and a half. But he was saying something, but now he had to do something. He had to do something he couldn't do. It's like I'm thinking here, Pierre, what'd he do? He did something he didn't want to do. He got to church when he didn't want to. And God met him there. It's the same thing. Every one of us has got a story. Every single one of us. I gave a mic. Every one of you would have a story in here about how you believe God and you didn't want to, but you started moving in a direction. So, say it, do it, receive it, tell it. And that's what the woman with the issue of blood did. That's what David did regarding Goliath. He said, this day I'll take your head off and feed it to the birds of the air. And he did. So we are a blessed people. I'm telling you, your words influence your spirit more than you realize. More than you realize. And the more you keep putting in, this is what Jesus said about the woman with the issue of blood. What did he say? He said, positive or negative, it is up to the individual. According to what the individual says, that shall he receive. Stop saying, I don't understand, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. How many times did she say that? I don't know, 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 I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how we're going to do that. Shut up. Zip it. No, you don't know, but I know the one who does know lives inside me. And he's revealing to me what I need to do, how I need to handle this. And so I don't know. Yeah, that's true. I don't, but don't confess that. Confess that you've got the greater one. Confess that the one inside you is omnipotent. He knows exactly how to direct my steps so I can walk right through this issue that I'm faced. I know what to do. I'll know what to say. I'll know how to handle this. I have favor with God and man. That's what we ought to be saying. That's why, I'm not picking on Pastor Greg at all. I'm not. I'm just saying, I've gotten with him. I said, I refuse to say I'm tired. I won't say it. I won't talk it. I will not. I'll say I need to take a rest. I need to lay down. I will not say I'm tired. I won't say it. And you need to purpose in your mind, there are just some things I'm not going to say anymore. I'm not decreeing that because I'm telling you, you will have what you say. That's what Jesus said to Brother Hagin. He appeared to him. He said, positive or negative, the individual will have what they say. He must think about it. You're saying, well, that's cruel. No, God has established his word and he must oversee his word. And so when you talk negative, you just stand back and say, well, I have to honor my word. Now, somebody may come along and nudge you and say, you know, probably might want to change that. No. Well, then you're going to have what you say. You will have what you say. Amen goes right there. Amen. You know, somebody in here might think, boy, you know, you really kind of hammering away at this. Yeah, because it's where we live. It's where we make the mistakes. It's where we can correct things and get back on course. I mean, even James says that. What does it say about the forest and the it says how do you change such a big ship with the rudder? How do you change the direction of your life? You're looking and sometimes you go, it's such a mess. How do you change that mess with your words? Guard your heart. For out of it comes the issues of life. I like what it says, guard your heart. There was another translation I spotted a couple days ago. And this is the New Century Version. It says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. We see that. Or the New Living Translation says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Everything. It affects everything you do. The Easy to Read Version, it says, above all, be careful what you think because your thoughts control your life. So, amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, which helps us, and the entrance of your word gives light. And we thank you that where we've missed it, we thank you, Father, that we're today making corrections with our speech. And we thank you that we are blessed. Everything we set our hands to is blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm reminded, and there may be some in here that have thought this way, and maybe they're confessing that, you know, doors open and close, and again, I'm not here to say that circumstances can't come about or happen in your life that are negative. But if they did, God's got something better. He's got something better for me. So even if something negative happened, he's got better for me. Always better. If one door closed, he's got another door open that's better for me. You know, sometimes you can't control what people do. People make decisions. And they may do some negative things. But I got a greater God that I'm working with. I've got a God that's in me that he can open doors and create opportunities that you know, you might get kicked out of one opportunity. That's all right. Praise God. God bless you. God's got something better for me. So always remember who we serve. Always remember who's in you. And confess this great God that we have. Confess his word. If you're here today and you have never made a public profession of faith in Christ, because the scripture is very clear, that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe that he was raised from the dead, that we'll be saved. And so if you're here today or you're watching online, this is an opportunity for you to secure your eternal destiny. And living good is good, doing right is good, but all of those things will not secure your salvation or secure your eternal destiny in heaven. So if you're here today or you're watching, Let's make this profession of faith. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus here to this earth to die for my sins. He came and took my place in hell, and I thank you for that. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is my Savior, and I believe he was raised from the dead. When he was raised from the dead, so was I. And I thank you for that. I believe that my spirit has been changed right now, cleansed with the blood of Jesus, and I believe that I have eternal life now living inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you made that simple profession of faith, if you don't recall doing that, you can let us know and we'll give you some free information today as to who you've become in Christ. Amen. Glory to God.